Okay, here we go. And
you're listening to the PC Gamer Podcast for May 8th, 2008. This is episode 132. This week, digital rights management for Spore and Mass Effect. Okay by us or all up in our grill? NVIDIA's road to simplicity. Are they smartening up or dumbing down? PC Gamer and Games Radar are shacking up. Send us a housewarming gift. Plus the latest game announcements and Uwe Boll update, a very fond farewell, and a brand new episode of Master PC Theater, all right after the break. Hello and welcome, friends and neighbors. It's another episode of the PC Gamer Podcast.
We're very glad to have you here.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I am your hostess, Kristen Salvatore. I'm joined by our senior executive editor, Chuck Osborne.
Howdy do.
Our senior editor, Logan Decker.
Oh yeah.
Senior associate editor, Dan Stapleton.
Hiya.
And senior intern, what are you, senior executive intern now, Norman?
Correct. Hell yeah.
I think I'm going to change my title to Senior Editor-in-Chief.
Oh, you should totally do that.
Out of the loop.
That sounds badass.
Wow, we're all here today. The gang's all here. Aww. It makes me happy. And Andy, my God, I'm completely sorry. I forgot our long-suffering and much-appreciated senior producer, Andy Bauman.
That's right. What's up? Holla.
Holla?
Holla.
So, speaking of the gang being all here... Chuck has something he'd like to tell us all.
Well.
Spill the beans, Chuck.
I'm pregnant.
Hang on one second. I gotta get my Kleenex. Hold on.
Oh, no, you're giving way. Okay, so this is going to be my last podcast as a member of the PC Gamer staff.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah.
Say it ain't so.
Yes.
Whoa.
This is my last week here at PC Gamer, and August will be my last issue. After 7 years, I am leaving PC Gamer, but I'm not leaving Future. I'm only moving to a different floor. I've accepted an exciting new position that I just could not say no to. Since I know a few of you out there are probably conspiracy theorists, I'm going to head some of those off right now.
I'd like to thank you for that.
Good work.
He's being fired for gross incompetence.
Exactly. That was going to be my number one thing. Believe it or not, and this actually came as a surprise to me, I'm not being fired.
What?
I know.
You didn't get the memo?
No, I'm not being fired. Actually,
he may not be incompetent, but he's still gross.
Believe it or not, in some circles, this could be considered a promotion. So, no, I'm not being fired. I'm not leaving PC Gamer because I think PC gaming is doomed. I am not leaving PC Gamer because I think PC Gamer is doomed. And also, this is not yet another example of a high turnover rate because I've been with this magazine for 7 years, which I think is second only to Greg Viderman in the length of time spent at this venerable, much-loved magazine. I do have to say that I came to this magazine as a fan. I read it long before I ever joined the staff, long before I ever thought that there would ever be a possibility of joining the staff. And it has been my honor, my pleasure to work on this magazine, to, you know, help shape it and guide it, and just to be a part of the entire experience. It's been an amazing dream come true, and I've loved every moment of it, and I've loved writing for everyone and working with this great staff of people. So thank you all. Thank you very much. And but I'm not dying. Hopefully, hopefully I will be invited back at some point to sit in on the podcast. You know, if I'm available.
You have a standing invitation, and yeah, as really sad as we all are to see Chuck go, because he's just been such a crucial part of this magazine for so long. We are super excited for you and your new opportunity. You're going to get to do some really fun new stuff. And we're extremely glad that you're not leaving the company. So
yeah,
who would we share our bacon with?
we're totally not going to let Chuck, you know, just walk away because, you know, we still need him to write a bunch of stuff for us. So
there's right. that. Oh, and also for anybody wondering about the final winner of the America's Next Top PC Gamer Reviewer Contest, I'm not like letting it slide by. I will finish it before I leave. So don't worry.
Expect an announcement shortly.
And in fact, the final announcement will be in our August 2008 issue, and hopefully we'll have a little announcement about the winner before then. But yes,
stay tuned.
Is
coming.
Well, Chuck.
Well, should we continue talking about changes here at PC Gamer, or should we get into some games news first? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I heard something happened last week.
We're living in sin, baby. Us and Games Radar. Woo, woo.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Isn't it more of a holy union than an unholy union? I thought
it is. It is a holy union. You're right.
Yeah. So
we're shacking up.
Some people.
There's less sin.
There was a lot of talk of how unholy it is, though, on the podcast forums.
So for anybody who was not paying attention, which I think probably doesn't include the 12 people who listen to this podcast, PC Gamer will now be powering the PC channel of Games Radar. As a result, the existing PC Gamer website is going away. Also, as a result, the existing PC Gamer forums have gone away. Many thanks to someone in particular who decided to take them down before we decided to take them down ourselves. But that's another. We'll get into that in just a minute. So
what a dick.
To which we say, cock, 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 cock.
Wow, I haven't heard this story. I can't wait.
Oh, Chuck. It's good stuff. Pull up a chair, honey. So as of yesterday, when you or as of today, I think, actually, when you type in www.pcgamer.com, you're redirected to gamesradar.com/PC. Let me just answer a couple of questions.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah.
I just entered PC Gamer, and yeah, it's still up there.
No, it works. Bonus. I just did it, and it works.
Bonus day.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
It just must. The DNS might not be refreshed yet.
Yeah, I'm refreshing.
It still goes to the old one for me.
Yeah, me too.
I think that might just be in house.
Yeah, for me it worked. So.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Interesting.
Moving on.
You may or may not be redirected to Games
Radar. Exactly. Depending apparently on where your computer is located.
Yeah.
But you should be. If not now, then soon. So just to answer a couple of questions that have popped up. If you know, when you go to the new, ostensibly the new site, it looks, just like the old Games Radar site, but you'll notice that there's some PC Gamer logos all over the place. There's been some concern about people saying, like, we don't understand. It's just still the PC site of Games Radar. But if you actually read the stories, you'll see that quite a lot of them are written now by the PC Gamer staff. Is somebody, do I hear maracas?
Is it
salsa night here in PC Gamer?
Some maracas, some rappers.
That's an interesting hallucination.
Wow. You know, people are going to accuse us of smoking pot before the broadcast again.
Everybody accuses.
That's funny because I hear castanets
and tambourines.
Oh my God, it's hair.
But you
oh
know,
God, it's
as
Rivera.
Long, yeah, as long as you're not hearing, you know, like angels' harps, it means you're still alive.
All's good. All's well. Nonetheless, so I definitely urge people. I know this is, you know, it's change and that kind of freaks people out and all. But the truth of the matter is, we really, you know, this was our idea. I don't want to give anybody the impression that this was like forced upon us by Future. Like we liked this idea. We were into it. We actually proposed it a long time ago. It seems silly to have two sites covering the same stuff. And if you look, the new site is very much populated by the staff of PC Gamer, along with the Games Radar staff and the PC Gamer UK staff. So
it's funny that people were so, I don't know, so a lot of people were dismayed and shocked when we've been looking forward to this for over a year.
Well, I mean, I do understand some of the complaints. I mean, like for example, the forums I get. I don't think anybody was complaining about like the old PC Gamer site going away because it was a little bit embarrassing. just, you know, it hadn't been updated in a long time. We didn't have the ability to do anything really interesting with it. So you know, we were all pretty glad to see that go. But the forums is what I think upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just, you know, losing that community. But you know, it's a time to start a whole new community to enter into a new one with Games Radar.
And, you know, as we've mentioned actually on the forums, you know, this is the internet, folks. Like, it's not like what you see there is going to be there forever. We have the opportunity to make some changes, make some upgrades. Are they going to happen tomorrow? Probably not. But nobody is saying that what's there now is what's going to be there forever. So we definitely urge everybody to at least give it a whirl. And if you're not going to give it a whirl, that's cool. You know, we're sorry. We'll miss you.
I think a lot of the concern came from the fact that people were sort of seeing this as PC Gamer getting shafted for some reason. Like, oh, OXM got a brand new site, Maximum PC got a brand new site, but PC Gamer gets swallowed up by Games Radar. So
at the risk of like, as I mentioned in my forum post, at the risk of like bagging on our sister magazines, because those guys are awesome and, you know, they do a really good job. But I think if you were to ask Will or Fran, they'd be the first to tell you that not only are those games not as fully featured as they'd like, they're also a real bear to even sort of keep up what they have going there.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like resource-wise, you know, we're still, in my opinion, getting the far better end of this deal.
I think as long as they know that you guys had this in the plans for a long time and you were very excited about it, I think they'll probably be more accepting.
Yeah, it's just not practical to maintain a website with the staff that we have. So having Games Radar maintain the site and we just contribute to it is really a much better way for us to do it.
And, you know, like I said, this is, you know, it's the freaking internet. Like, there's nothing that says that we won't be doing something else with PCGamer.com sometime in the future. In fact, that's absolutely our plan. But this sort of buys us some time to do something a lot cooler with it than have, like, a movable type blog. So that's the big news from that end. On to gaming news. I think probably the biggest, most interesting thing, at least that I've seen this week, in addition to the announcement of Doom 4, which we'll get to later, has to do with the DRMs for Mass Effect and Spore. So I don't know if everybody... Did I just hear a raspberry?
Oh, yeah, you did.
So for anybody who didn't happen to catch this news, basically what's happening is both for Spore and for Mass Effect PC, which I believe somebody here is about to start reviewing.
We just got a review build, so we haven't got a chance to play it yet because it was literally just handed to us like half an hour ago. But
are you guys fighting over it?
No, I already won that fight.
Oh,
yep. So anyway, the idea is that both of these games are going to make use of a copy protection scheme that requires online validation every 10 days in order to keep the games working. So it's a secure ROM thing.
It's secure ROM, which is the same thing that BioShock used. The system is a little bit different than BioShock, though, because the secure ROM is like the underlying technology, but there are a bunch of different things you can do with it, different ways you can use it. For example, the BioShock 1, you could only install twice, at least initially. You could only install it twice. Still required the disk to be in the drive. It required online validation, which it only had to do once, though. With the new one that EA is using for Mass Effect and for Spore, you put the disk in, you install the game, you go online and validate it. And you know, just like you do with, you know, Windows or whatever. And then you can take the disk out of the drive, which is kind of cool. The downside is, and this is what's going to piss off a lot of people, is that so one validation is just not enough for EA. They want to validate every 10 days.
Oh, jeez.
So, but the upside is you don't have to have the disk in your machine then, right?
Right, right.
Well, so, all right, you know, obviously I hear raspberries, I hear casting heads. So what's everybody think? You know, we've heard a lot. We've talked a lot on the podcast lately about piracy and problems with piracy and how there are lots of developers who are talking about how piracy is deeply affecting the, you know, their business decisions with regard to PC gaming moving forward. Are they doing what they need to do? Or are they like touching?
I'm wondering if this is like a viral ad for BitTorrent. Because I mean, they're coming at their paying customers with the most heavy-handed, copy protection that I can imagine. And I think hardcore gamers would be able to deal with it, but these are going to be really mainstream games. And what's going to happen is, you know, they're not going to be looking at the warnings on the box about, oh, well, you'll have to activate every 10 days. What's going to happen is they're going to step away from their computers. They're going to take a week off or something like that, come back to their computer, not be connected to the internet, and simply be told your game is not going to play. You have to activate. You have to go to an internet connection. And they're going to think, why do I have to deal with this? Why not? Why didn't I get the console version? Because
or
my console's
version.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think casual people are necessarily going to know things about cracked versions, but right. You know, they're going to say, "Why do I have to do this? I bought the game. Why is it telling me I can't play?" And I think that's going to have a huge impact. They're not going to see the PC as a gaming platform that's shoulder to shoulders, or even better than the consoles.
But you know, we talked last week, Logan. Dan brought up the point last week that in order, you know, and in fact, I think you chimed into this conversation too, that in order to keep the PC as open a platform as it is, mm-hmm. you know, it's. I think you made the analogy to sort of living in a country where we have. You know, a variety of rights that as a result of having, you know, some of those rights, you give up some security. And that, you know, if you wanted to, we'll use England as an example, you know, people there have willingly given up a variety of their civil rights in order to mm-hmm. increase security. Mm-hmm. Is this not the price we pay to have?
No, you know what? It's not like I have a philosophical objection to it. I think what they're doing is they're hurting their own market, and it's a market I don't want to see hurt. You know, I think they want to stop short-term piracy, which is great. But in the long term, they're convincing people that PC gaming is a nightmare, you know, compared to the consoles.
Right.
That's a very good point.
You know, and that's what the first time somebody realizes they can't play the game that they bought, they're not going to care what the reason is or how good the explanation is. They're going to go, this isn't really worth it. This is ridiculous. I should be able to play this game. And another problem I have with it is, you know, I play games for years, the ones I really love and treasure. And, you know, you can't come around and tell me, oh, don't worry, we're going to have our servers up in 10 years. You know, Microsoft just shut down.
There is an option, though, that they have to patch the game to remove that.
Sure, but will they do that? What guarantee do they? We have it in writing? Absolutely not. Microsoft just turned its backs on every single person. The biggest corporation in the world just turned off Plays for Sure servers. So everybody who bought music protected with Plays for Sure is now screwed. And they tell you, oh, well, don't worry. You can still play. Yeah. They're saying, well, no, this program went on for years, you know? And Microsoft first turned its back on Plays for Sure when it came out with the Zune, and now it's doing it again by turning off the servers and telling customers, look, just don't reformat your hard drives. Oh, that's a great solution, you know? So, you know, there's no promise that, you know, any patch is going to be released, or why should consumers even have to have a grovel for a patch for something they bought? I'd rather not rent a game, you know? I mean, that's what you're doing. You're basically renting this game and relying on the, you know, good graces of a company to allow you to play what you paid for. And if I didn't work where I do, I have to say, I think that I'm totally okay with Steam's DRM. This goes too far. I won't buy Spore or Mass Effect. There's no way. It's too heavy-handed. They've gone way over the line.
What would you have them do instead? I ask you, Logan, what would you have them do?
You know what? I'm fine with Steam. I'm fine with the activation the first time you play. I'm fine with having to have, you know, some sort of internet connection. But, you know, Steam gives you the option to play offline. If you know you're going on vacation, you don't have to worry about coming back and you know, being shaken down by your own game.
Well, we should clear up a little bit that the copy protection is a little bit flexible in that it will try and validate every 5 days. And if it can't, then you've still got that 5-day window to revalidate. So it's not like, you know, if you're just offline for the 10th day, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. You know, you basically have to be, you know, connected to the internet at some time in the past 10 days, mm-hmm. which is still going to annoy a lot of people, especially the fact that Mass Effect and Spore are both single player games. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, why do I need to be on the internet to play a single-player game? That's
well,
not cool.
Actually, but that's not entirely true when it comes
well,
to Spore.
Well, Spore is the massively single-player thing, but it's not at all required to play the game. You can play that game just fine with the content that's on the disc.
That's true, but you know what I have to say? And, like, this is something I'm really going to be really interested in seeing when reviews start coming up. In my opinion, like, a big part of that game is the Sporepedia, which populates your universe and others' universes by what you've made in your universe. And I would submit that may well, you know, affect the way the gameplay is. That, you know, if people, for example, were to review that game without reviewing the Sporepedia part and having the internet connection, you're not getting the full review of that game. I really feel mm-hmm. pretty strongly that that's, although you can play the game, you know, without that, I feel like it's an important component of the game. So
well, I don't think that's really going to change the way the game plays. I think it's going to add visual
really?
Variety. Yeah,
I totally do.
No, because it's going to add visual variety to things. You're going to see creations that other people have made. But that the way things look in that game don't necessarily dictate how they behave and the way you interact with them.
It's not just the way they look. If you also can choose, it's also the behaviors of the creatures that you're populating. I think it absolutely changes the way the game plays. No question.
But I think there's not that big a variety of how the creatures behave. I think there's a spectrum of behaviors that they're going to choose from.
So I don't think
that players aren't going to be creating their own behaviors. It's going to be kind of almost choosing from a menu of behaviors.
But the creature's behaviors are determined by what you equip your creature with.
Right, but there are only so many things you can equip the creature with. But
if you decide to populate your entire universe only with omnivorous or herbivores, that's going to make for a completely different game experience in your universe than if you populate it with one or the
blood drinking monsters.
Right, but the whole point of the interconnectivity there is that you're populated at random by what other people have created.
Right, but it's not completely.
In any case, we're getting kind of off topic here.
Well, we can't have that now, can we?
I'm going to say that for myself, I actually like the trade-off of not having to have the disk in my machine and having the online validation. To me, that's fine.
I kind of like that too.
But my PC is also connected all the time
to the
internet.
Right.
And the way I understand it, it's going to be like a pretty invisible background process. You know, if you're online already all the time, it's just going to happen. You're not even going to know about it.
Right. I'm in exactly the same boat. Every PC I own is always connected, so I'm not bothered by it. But, I think we've discussed, at least here before, if not off the podcast, a number of times, the fact that our situation is not necessarily reflective of the connectivity situation of everybody.
Well, I was thinking about.
I mean, I have to imagine though that EA and Microsoft that they've done research on this and they know what percentage of PC gamers are actually online all the time. Which ones are on broadband, etc. So my guess is that this is actually going to affect negatively a fairly small percentage of game players.
I doubt they have done that research.
I don't think they have done the research. Companies put their foot in their mouths all the time. They make stupid mistakes. I think large corporations, just like people, believe what they want to believe, that we'd be making so much more money if only we can get, tougher laws and more stringent sentences, and then everything will fall into place and we'll make more money. I think it's a fantasy. It's an illusion.
I think that they may have done research, but I think that the people that they do research on are the people that are already connected to the internet and responding, what kind of internet connection do you have? And if you don't have an internet connection, when you register a game, I think that that sample might not be quite accurately reflecting. I think that it is going to be a relatively small number of people that are going to be affected by this, but those people would have otherwise been able to play this game if it weren't for the DRM, and the DRM adds nothing to your experience. I also think that, and my general opinion of copy protection, is that if somebody is willing to circumvent something as simple as a one-time activation or a disk check, they're willing to circumvent anything. So, if they're going to download a crack, they're going to download a crack, and for the most part, the strongest copy protection is going to be broken in, a matter of a month at the most, and the weakest is going to be broken a little bit sooner. But people are just going to download a crack and play the game just like they would have either way. And all you're doing by increasing these measures is hurting the people that aren't willing to circumvent it.
I have a big problem with the limitation of how many times you can install as well. I mean, I install games I bought 10 years ago today, and it's heartbreaking, to think that. We don't even think that this game will need to be played in a few years. That's how little we think of our own product.
Do we know? I don't see anything in the story that... Is there something in the story about the number of installations as well? That was just BioShock you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
They can choose to implement it or not.
Right.
I believe I read... let's see.
I'd be real surprised after the BioShock hoo-ha if they decided to do that, but I guess stranger things have happened.
Actually, it may have been three installations. We might have to look. We'll have to look.
I'm looking up where I read that it was three. I mean, the thing is
yeah, I thought it was 3-2, but I can't remember where I read it.
People have been shooting themselves in the foot, making the same mistakes over and over again for years, so this doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, look at Securom has gotten a terrible reputation, but people keep going to it, you know?
Well, I mean, Securom itself, you know, if you just use it with the disk and without the repeated activations and mm-hmm. like limitations on number of installs and things like that, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with Securom. It doesn't break your computer. It doesn't really necessarily.
Also probably doesn't work. But as you've already mentioned, not most copy protection schemes ultimately. Yeah.
No copy protection scheme works. None of them have ever worked in the long run. But Securom, I think a previous version of it had problems with, like, if you had some kind of disk imaging software installed on your computer, it would say no. I don't know if the current ones do that.
And what if mistakes happen? You know, what if, I think your CD key is invalid, therefore I'm going to disable your game. You can do that with this activation process. That's what it's in place for. And that means that if there's an error, you pay. The company doesn't. You do. If they even think they're losing money, if they even suspect... They don't come to you. They don't send you an email. They just turned it off. You're screwed. You're out the money.
Yeah,
customer service. How fast do you think they're going to get back to you? And when they how are you going to feel about it?
What I'm really worried about is what happens when a key gen comes out. You know, then you know, then people are going to be pirating the game, registering with this generated code that could be your code.
Right.
And then you'd be in trouble because, I mean, like Logan said, the whole point of the system is they want to be able to shut down. Keys that leaked out into the pirate scene. So mm-hmm. if they see a bunch of people installing on one key, they can shut that down. Mm-hmm. Now, if a key gen comes out and people start installing with generated keys, they could already be owned by somebody.
You know, I don't mean to sound all anti-corporate. It's just that, you know, Steam is working, you know, and it's doing a great job for its customers. And then we have this sort of method, which is just going to give PC gaming a bad name.
Okay, so... A lot of people have problems with Steam for exactly the same reason. I mean, so I don't understand
what do you mean the exactly the same reason?
Like the fact that you have to be connected.
Steam doesn't have to be online.
Steam doesn't limit how many times I can install my game. Steam lets me play offline, even if I'm not using my computer for 2 weeks. You know, I never come back and am told, you know, oh wait, you know, this we think this key may be, you know, used somewhere else. None of those threats exist, you know? And because the entire thing is built on, you know, all the games, you know, Steam is a service that is going to exist for some time in order to serve. Don't know how long.
Yeah, your very same complaint about, you know, what if their servers go down, that applies to Steam as well.
That is true.
Have we heard anything about, I mean, certainly EA and Valve/Steam have a relationship. Have we heard any talk at all about whether or not these games might actually end up being sold on Steam?
EA has
it's
their
a
own...
completely different relationship, though. I think it's just, I mean, for Valve games, it was just an in-store distribution deal.
Right.
So EA uses their, what is it called, EA...
Download.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which nobody uses. I mean,
I was just going to say, look how much we all knew about it.
I guess I have more faith in Steam because that's their main thing. That's what they do, that they sell games. Whereas Microsoft, you know, you sign up with Microsoft's Plays for sure, and this is just a little part of what they did. And then when they got tired of it, did they even give like an ounce of concern to consumers? No, they just kind of threw them away.
Logan, you and Microsoft had a bad breakup this week.
I know. Yeah.
Seriously.
EA's publishing this one, though.
Logan, you need to take Microsoft like out of your cell phone and just not accept their block them from your IM.
I know.
I think you need some space. Seriously.
I don't know. The one example of a online distribution system shutting down was Triton after Prey came out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people
when Prey came out.
Right. Well, it was a little bit after Prey came out because a lot of people had bought Prey on Triton, and the response was for 2K. They sent out a box copy to everybody who bought it. I don't think that's practical with Steam, especially since some of those games are not available in box copies, like the older ones, like the classic stuff.
I think they also it wasn't just a box copy, right? They also updated like a Titan or Triton patch, so you didn't have to connect to the servers, and I think you'd still play. Your version. I think it's a box copy if you wanted the box copy.
There's a lot of great ways to treat customers right, but you know what? Why not say that at the get go? You know, I would feel a lot better if EA would say, you know, oh, by the way, we have a patch coming out in 6 months. We just want to stop the initial wave of piracy. You know, maybe something like that. I don't know. That might make me feel a little better.
Yeah, That would allay your fears that you wouldn't be able to play your game in 10 years.
Exactly, yeah. But this is like, you know, this is basically telling gamers, you guys take all the risk because we feel like we're losing money. All right, well, then I'll just play something else.
So in keeping with Logan's original point about the idea that more casual gamers...
Of hate.
Even Logan's original point of hatred. that more casual gamers may be flummoxed by this idea. One thing that we talked about a lot on the podcast lately is the idea that there are lots of casual PC gamers or people who just haven't yet even tried gaming on the PC who are flummoxed by PC gaming altogether. And to that point, NVIDIA has announced that it's going to be simplifying, in quotes, its product range. They haven't said exactly how they're going to do that. They've just said that it's a challenge they're looking at and that they really feel like they need to simplify the product range for consumers so that people start to understand, you know, the quote was, we think that people who understand and know GeForce today are okay with it. They understand it. But if we're going to widen our appeal, there's no doubt that we have to solve that problem. So what do you guys think? Are they dumbing down? Is this what we're looking for?
I think it was necessary because they reached their 9,000 series.
You know, I disagree with that because I do know GeForce and I am familiar with most of their cards. I still have trouble figuring out exactly what card is better than what. They've got GS, GT, GTS.
I mean, usually go with the higher number.
The higher number, yes, but 8800 GTX, 8800 GT, 8800 GTS.
GTX, yeah. Well, yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I know.
I think both of you are right. I think it's also because they're reaching the end of this numbering series. But what gives me pause is that they can try to simplify their nomenclature, but if they want to make gaming, understanding hardware easier for consumers, they can't do it alone. NVIDIA's naming initiative is not going to be enough. Consumers need to understand the relationship between the hardware and what games it can play and what OS can run on, and that's a much bigger issue.
But, I mean, there are many simple ways that they could do this. Like, say they've got, you know, say they've got five cards in the GeForce 10 line. Just have the lowest power one be the 10.1, second one, 10.2, 10.0, you know, something like that. You know, or just A, B, C,
like
D, you know what?
Children.
Yeah, but then ATI will come out with a card that says that's the 10.1X plus. And then somebody else will want to call theirs 10.2 additional extra fun.
Squared.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's you know a price they could pay. But I mean, considering that NVIDIA is already the market leader, I don't think they really have that much to worry about there.
I'm just saying that's why naming conventions get screwed up. Sorry.
Yeah. Also, you know, NVIDIA and ATI have been pretty good, with the exception of like the 9800 series being similar to the ATI's old Radeon 9800. They've been pretty good about keeping their product lines, product naming conventions separate. I don't think they want any confusion.
But do you remember what happened with Intel and AMD when AMD started calling its processors the 3200 and all that
But they still know what's in, you know Intel and you know GeForce, and GeForce is NVIDIA's strongest brand, and that's what they're going to be banking their entire line on. So as long as within you know the GeForce family, the products are differentiated, I don't think it's going to be a big problem.
But Logan, with AMD, the example you gave, wasn't the reason they did that because Intel had the higher clock speeds, but AMD had just better performance?
Exactly. Yeah. And so they were trying to achieve some naming parity there.
Right. So it was just a matter of you know getting their marketing around the misconception.
Yeah, but the consumers were still comparing, you know, megahertz to megahertz, and they were trying to clear that up. But it was still pretty confusing. But all told, I'm all for simplifying anything when it comes to PC hardware, because I know it's flummoxing.
Has to go way beyond nomenclature, though, in my opinion. Like, way.
Absolutely, it does.
Who it was at the beginning, Logs, it might have been you, who said this needs to happen in conjunction with other, you know, other industry leaders, and I would tend to agree with you there that, you know, the best way to make this work is for Intel and, you know, motherboard manufacturers and processor manufacturers and OS manufacturers and everybody to kind of pull together and figure out stuff. But, you know, we've been talking about this. Everybody's been talking about this for years. And Microsoft is still, I think, aren't they still discussing? I can't remember what they called
it. Well, I hoped that this was what the PC Gaming Alliance would have been for, but so far from them we've heard
nothing. Now I agree with you that does need to happen, but I think that before that can happen, you need to eliminate the stupid like confusing things like this, exactly like NVIDIA's crazy naming conventions.
Right. Sure, and I think NVIDIA's acknowledging that it got a little out of hand, especially with the 8800 to the 9000 series.
They should do
you know,
like
they're
Razer,
acknowledging it. And,
like
you know.
What Razer does by naming all their stuff after snakes, NVIDIA should name all their stuff after like...
After squirrels.
Horses.
Yes. AMD already does their stuff after horses, right?
Who
do
does?
They? At least the code
AMD,
names.
Their code name for their CPUs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Maybe they can name them after cars or something.
Named after cars, named after horses.
How about bread?
Yes. Oh, that's good. Like I like that.
The pumpernickel.
Yeah, the
Dr. Bread.
Lunchmeat.
Oh, sorry, we're all out of rye.
Wow. Fine cheeses.
Wheat's all right.
Dragons. It's the G-Force Gouda.
I want it named after fruits. I want the ATI banana.
Ooh, oh, dude, I have an orange.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, on to some general announcements. I think probably the biggest thing that's happened this week is that Doom 4 was announced. To
sort
which
of.
We all
kind of like...
He's coming out of guard, yeah.
Monsters in the Closet.
Yeah, kind of like it popped out from behind a closet, behind you in the closet. Yeah. It was kind of a weird announcement, though. You know, like most announcements that we see here are like, you know, a publisher says, you know, we've been working on this game. Here's what it looks like. Here's what we're doing. This was almost like, you know, posting a want ad.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a press release looking for talent.
Yeah, this was the most bizarre announcement I think I've ever seen for any game because you never see like a want ad sort of advertisement like this for such a high-profile game. I mean, normally, you know, they just say something along the lines of, hey, we're looking for some people who, you know how to put together first-person shooters, who can do level design, everything. They usually just don't say, hey, we're doing Doom 4. Who wants to help make
it? Who's interested?
Yeah.
You think they were just trying to circumvent kind of what usually happens, which is if id makes a posting for like, hey, we're looking for people who are doing first, who have first-person experience and level designs, like you can kind of figure out.
Well, but it seems
like for a
project like Doom 4, you can pretty much cherry pick your talent.
Right.
True.
And so for them to have a cattle call like this, it just seems really odd.
Well, it could be that their Outlook calendar just said, send a press release. And, you know, it's like a reminder every
few
months.
You know what's funny is I got a phone call the day before this press release came out asking me to confirm that in our May of 2004 issue, we had named Doom one of the 10 most influential games of that decade, which I did. And because we did. And my response was, huh, is this going into some sort of press piece? And their response was, yes.
And then they hung up on you.
It's coming. The life of me that I ever imagined that it would be Doom 4, because what a kind of random, like, could you please confirm something from your May 2004 issue? Like, I just didn't connect the dots.
Well, especially since, I mean, lately I've been talking with some developers who are saying that, you know, these long lead times between the announcement and the eventual release, you know, now that games continually get pushed back and the schedules just get so protracted that, you know, why would they want to do this now? Why,
oh, yeah,
why
that's
announce
a good
the game
point.
Before they've actually even staffed it?
Good point.
I guess in a case like this, you know, it really is kind of an inevitable game, you know, so it will come out at some point. I mean, it may take as long as Duke Nukem, but there will be a Doom 4 at some
That's
point.
That's such
you know,
a ringing endorsement, like, Doom 4, it's inevitable.
It has to happen.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Death, taxes, and Doom 4. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, though, you know, the game sold well. There's no reason they wouldn't do another one. Absolutely no reason whatsoever. You know, even if they were phoning it in and they decided to totally cash in and just, you know, do something slapdash, there's no reason for them not to do it and bring in more money.
Well,
now,
I'm
sure they will do something ambitious. You know, at least technologically, but sure. but I mean, there's no reason why they would not do a Doom
3. But in terms of like
not to get all businessy and to like second guess their PR motives, but you know they have another game on the horizon. They
this
have Rage
true.
On the horizon, so you would think that they would want to pump up that game and not detract from you know Rage by tossing Doom 4 into the middle.
They have two games on the horizon.
Anything
right?
about Rage having a publisher yet?
No.
Still
no announcement.
We may need to look into this.
Ever done a game that they didn't? I mean, a recent game that they didn't publish with Activision?
No.
So,
but you know, it's not like Rage is a secret.
Maybe I mean, all the people who are going to interview for these jobs with id are actually going to be consumed by the company.
Oh, there you go. They're actually going to be
people.
John Carmack needs his biannual, you know.
Yep. Soul. Infusion.
He's going to launch them into space.
So I wonder I wonder if John Romero has sent in his resume yet.
Oh, that would be, that would be so awesome.
Hey guys. How's it going?
I hear you're making this game called Doom 4.
If we had any balls at all, we would make a fake John Romero resume.
I smell video blood.
That we didn't just announce on the podcast. There's this really cool secret practical joke we're going to pull.
That we're going to do, right? let's see what else is going on this week. Prototype delayed? Did I see that somewhere?
You did.
That's true.
Oh. Deal. Do we know anything other than it's... I just know that it's been delayed until, I think, 2009.
Yeah, early 2009, January, I think. Oh. That's supposed to fall away. I mean,
the last time... Yeah. Go ahead.
We saw it. Well, we went to that prototype event back when GDC, and they had nothing to show. I mean, no gameplay at all. The couple trailers that we've seen online have all showed the same footage, pretty much, like the middle of New York rampage in the streets with a helicopter. But, yeah, I'm not that surprised, and...
I really, really want to play that game.
Well, you're going to have to wait.
You'll really have to wait.
I have to get all my decapitations from Age of...
Wouldn't you rather it be a better game, though? For the delay?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. No problem. Take your time, guys.
A couple new trailers came out this week. Everybody see the new Far Cry 2 trailer?
The new Far Cry 2 trailer?
It's pretty.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's actually like a developer walkthrough trailer kind of.
Do they show the burning grass?
They did not. They've shown the burning grass like over and over. We didn't look at the burning grass this time. I don't remember seeing burning grass. But what they were talking about is how they actually traveled to various locations in Africa to take tons and tons of photographs and video to inform all of the environments of the game.
They set the grass on fire.
Right, exactly.
This is how people run.
Actually, in the earliest demos, I mean, when I went to go see the game for our cover story, that's exactly what they did. That you could like set up traps practically by setting the grass on fire. It's a cool flame propagation system that they have in the game.
What's the other? What is it? Alone in the Dark that also has the crazy flame propagation system.
They have it. It's not quite to the same extent, I don't think, as what's in Far Cry 2.
Well, I urge everybody to check out the trailer because it's dang, that game is really, really pretty, really, really, really pretty. So, and also Mirror's Edge. There's a new Mirror's Edge trailer. Did you guys check that out?
Nice. It's beautiful.
Like hot and very Japanese.
You mean French?
But the aesthetic is sort of very, I don't know, it felt very kind of anime.
It's beautiful.
It's actually developed by Swedish.
DICE, yeah.
It's DICE, yeah. Yeah, it's good looking.
It's shiny and lovely.
Yeah.
So it's, we saw the demonstration. It's a Swedish company. It's a Swedish company developing a game with a Japanese aesthetic about a French art. Or French athletic.
I don't know if there had been any trailers about this, any Mirror's Edge trailers out before. I hadn't seen any, if there had been. So this is the first one I've seen. And I got to tell you, we were discussing, I think, a couple podcasts ago about people who get sick playing games. This one, if you are even remotely prone to motion sickness, this is not going to be the game for you.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I'm willing to barf for it.
You will.
that's fine. You know, I'll keep a bucket next to it because I'm going to play that game.
Even watching the trailer, I was like, "This is really cool." I think I have to put my head down. Like,
do you want to describe what we know about the game so far? For people who don't know what Mirror's Edge is,
you guys can. You know more about it than I do, so go ahead.
Norm, go to town.
I love your voice.
So Mirror's Edge. We saw the game. Actually, them playing the game at GDC. It's going to be about the future. You know, society is oppressed by the government and. All communication is wiretapped. And so what people need to do to communicate with the underground, there's an underground resistance, obviously, to communicate, they have these couriers, people who run around, relaying message with these batons. And you play one of the couriers, and your body is completely agile. You can run across, you know, skyscrapers, jump off rooftops, and glide and swing and kick people and do all sorts of crazy stuff, all from the first person. So you do parkour, which is stuff the sport you saw in that was in Assassin's Creed, but it's all from the first person, which is kind of weird.
It's also very reminiscent of the opening of the Casino Royale, that guy that was running around and jumping through little holes and swinging around on things. I don't know, from the GDC demonstration I saw, like I'm worried it's going to be a little bit more linear than I would like, just because they do really guide you through. Like they're really big on the color red. Anything that's red,
yes.
Anything that's red.
Vision, or you have what they explain is that you have like a second sense, like a runner's vision. So when you get close to a ledge, parts of the screen will glow red, and those are the parts that you can use to get to the next part of the level.
Well, not just that though. It's in the level design, you know, red elements like a flagpole or something will be painted red, and so you'll know you can interact with that somehow. And use it to progress further through the level. I'm just worried that it does seem very linear, and for a game like that where I want to feel like I can, you know, run around and jump from rooftop to rooftop, I don't want to be told which rooftop I can jump to. I want to
Watch the trailer though, and I think you'll know. Like, based on what I saw, there's no way it can't be linear. I have no idea.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is going. I mean, I'm okay with that, but I know.
Well, what's also really interesting from the demo we saw is the puzzle solving aspect to it, because it's all about using your body and reaching places through climbing and jumping and vaulting. You could be like trapped in a corridor, and in order to escape, you have to, think about how you would escape this room if the door was locked, and you can climb onto like some railings on top of the room and break through certain windows and stuff like that.
But it's not like lame jumping puzzles, which is good.
Yeah, no.
So there's another movie that has a lot of parkour. It's called District B13.
No, that's the French movie, right?
Yeah, and that's a good one to check out. And the thing about Mirror's Edge, I think that's so awesome, is the aesthetic of the visuals. It's like so bright, overexposed, like white, sterile environment, but it's like so realistic at the same time. It's unique.
Well, it uses a lot of good HDR and dynamic lighting, I think. Yeah,
speaking of crazy movies, it's time for this week's Uwe Boll update. So I don't know what Uwe Boll ever did to the good people at Stride Gum, but whatever it is, he really pissed them the hell off.
He made bad movies.
As we had discussed at the StopUveBowl.org internet petition, which I guess as of just a few days ago was at a mere 234,000 signatures.
No.
Stride is now offering 1 million packs of gum, one for each signer, if the petition hits the 1 million mark by May 14th. So
and
you can get yourself.
Norm, keep in mind that Stride Gum is also... They're also the makers of that kryptonite gum from Smallville from a few episodes back.
Oh,
that I was talking about.
Yes.
So yeah, they had like egregious product placement in Smallville. So I think this is all about publicity for them.
Are they the new GoldenPalace.com?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Now,
are they going to be buying some Virgin Mary totes next?
The thing about this this internet petition that has to reach 1 million petitioners before Uwe Boll will take it seriously, I think he's under like a very flawed assumption that 1 million people have watched his movies. I mean,
well, you don't have to watch this movie to sign a petition. You just have to really want gum.
Well, now, yeah, I feel like I signed the petition
really,
too
really
early.
Want gum.
I've done my part.
I don't know, it's just like he thinks that you know 1 million people have to hate him in order for him to stop making the movies. But I mean, there'd be 1 million people that like know who he is because they saw his movies, and I don't think that many people have actually watched his movies.
You can't win for losing with this, believe me, because either 1 million people say we hate you, Uwe Boll, and we think, oh, 1 million people, you know, hate him, but I guarantee you he'd be like, 1 million people cared enough about me to, you know, sign this petition. Clearly it means that many people are paying attention to me. Yeah.
But watch Postal. Theaters, May 14th.
Oh, it is coming out in theaters. Is it?
Mm-hmm. I think the petition is it's supposed to end. Postal comes out.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, why would they have it end when Postal comes out? Because a whole new crop of people are going to see Postal and want to sign it.
So exactly. So everybody take a petition board and go and stand outside the theater. And when people are coming out, get them to sign the petition.
Right. Free gum. Free gum. And so it is time once again for another episode of Masterpiece Theater.
Oh.
Dum dum dum.
quick shout out to BL Kun. I think I got that correct. I'm sure I messed it up, but he correctly guessed that the one from 2 weeks ago was Quake 2. So thank you very much.
Are the speech thespians prepared? Maybe
we are.
You may begin.
Excuse me. I have a very fine monkey for you. Only $20 American.
Sorry, I don't want a monkey.
What do you mean?
I don't want a monkey.
Why not?
Because I don't like monkeys. Now get that filthy beast away from me.
Are you insulting my monkey?
I'm sure it's a perfectly excellent monkey, but I don't want it. Now please leave, I am very busy.
$10.
No, I wouldn't want the dreadful thing, even if it were free.
Free? You want my children to starve?
If they're hungry, I suggest you feed them the monkey.
This is a valuable monkey. My wife would kill me if she knew I was offering it to you so cheap.
You don't seem to understand. I don't want a monkey.
Infidel!
Woo! And scene.
I'm stumped.
So if you think that you know which game that came from, it came from a PC game, a pretty well-known one, I believe, go to www.pcgamerpodcast.com and be the first person to post your answer on our forum.
It was not Quake 4.
This is a valuable monkey.
It's not Doom 4, yes.
What do you say we do some questions, eh?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Andy says, okay, we're doing okay.
Who's going to ask him?
Okay. We have clearance on the questions.
Hey, PC Gamer, I love the show and the magazine, and I've been actually subscribing to the magazine since, I think, about 1999, and I was just rereading an old issue from 2001 where there's an interview with Neil, I think it's Mankey? I'm not sure, but the guy who did the They Hunger mod. And one of the questions that you guys asked him was, if there was one thing about the games business you could smite with one mighty blow, what would it be? And he answered, and I quote, Valve software. They've just become too powerful for anyone's real good. However, I wouldn't smite them until after Team Fortress 2 and Half-Life 2 are released. That's from 2001. What do you think of that, looking back now? I thought it was funny.
I think it's funny that anybody's talking about smiting anybody.
I'm not ready to smite them because they haven't released Left 4 Dead yet.
Yeah. I heart Valve. I mean, they've done such great work and turned out to have done the things that we hoped Microsoft would do. And that's all my hate for Microsoft in this question. Yeah. So
they have picked up the dropped ball there. And
exactly. I mean,
all they're doing is strengthening PC gaming, and we are grateful to them for that. And they're producing
that's
some
right
great
on
games,
the point.
Great
Absolutely.
Games at the same time. So
yeah, I don't see how them producing good stuff is doing anything but actually creating good competition and helping the industry. I think if you wanted to talk about a company, maybe I'm opening a can of worms here, that was possibly quashing innovation, some people would suggest that actually Blizzard and WoW would be part of the problem there. But I wouldn't say. It's been suggested to me that there's a group of people who feel that Blizzard and World of Warcraft are actually responsible for sort of squashing innovation in MMOs because nobody can take them on.
Yeah. And it's actually a big school of thought that WoW is doing a lot of harm to PC gaming because people are only playing that one game and aren't branching out to other things.
Right.
So basically Blizzard is like the Walmart of PC gaming, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a theory that's been posited to me a number of times recently. So,
I would argue then that Blizzard has actually brought many more people to PC gaming than if there was no Blizzard.
Cheers to that.
Agreed.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Ryan from Chicago. I don't generally complain about this sort of thing, but I have to say that I'm extremely disappointed with your guys' decision to move your forums from PC Gamer to Games Radar. Have you even checked out the forums at that place? They have to be the shittiest forums I've ever seen. They have no form of organization. They don't even have smileys or any of the even useful stuff for threads. Not to mention the community is a shithole compared to the one that's been on this website for so long. I'm really disappointed in you guys, and I hope that you make the decision to bring back the PC Gamer forums. This has got to be one of the worst decisions you guys have made since making the VD chief editor. Sorry. Later.
You kiss your mother with that mouth?
No, smileys.
Let me tell you about Microsoft.
No. Well, okay, so like we said at the beginning of the show, we understand that people were upset about being uprooted, but I mean there was really no saving that site in the condition that it was in the resources that we had to do it. We understand that the forums on GamesRadar are not as feature complete as they could be, and you know hopefully we will be able to update those to something that was even better than the old forum. But I got to take issue with something. Smileys, those are useful. Come on. If you can express,
he has no other way to express his emotions.
Yeah. But there's no emoticon to express how I'm feeling right now. But
I'm also going to toss out the idea that you know what makes a community are the people in it. So if people are interested in preserving and improving the PC Gamer forum community, you know, they can do that in any forum, and I would urge them to do so in our new ones. Like, I absolutely agree. We want all those people around. We love having a vibrant forum community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would urge people to find a way to preserve that within the confines, if you will, of what we can offer right now.
And yeah. you can still post your thoughts, and you know, we agree that we need a few more sections in the forums. We're going to add those as soon as the guy who handles that gets back from vacation, which would be next week. So, you know, there's one improvement that's coming very soon. So hopefully we'll be able to provide more.
I also, you know, I have to jump in and say that, you know, that message is in both tone, language, and content very similar to a number that we've received. The one thing I understand change is difficult. I understand that people are upset that we've taken away something that they really liked and given them something else. But the one thing I really do take issue with is this sort of like tone and attitude that like we did this as sort of an FU to our community, or we did this without our, you know, taking our community under consideration, or you know that it was that we did it in a really casual, thoughtless way. I really have to posit that there's nobody, believe me, who cares more about PC Gamer than the people who are on this podcast. Like, we take this really seriously. We work really hard at it. It's very important to us. So, believe me, there's nothing that we do, including something like making these changes to the forums and the website, without thinking about it really hard. And, you know, it's one step of a longer process. The goal is to have things improve over time.
Yeah, yeah. And also we have to look toward the future. You know, taking route A gives us this kind of opportunity. Taking route B, you know, gives us these opportunities. And, you know, you have to choose one over the other. And I know one was just too limited.
And I know that lots of people said, well, tell us what the future opportunities are. And the truth is, like, come on, that's not something I can do. Like, we're a business. We work for a public company. And if I were to lay out our entire roadmap of, you know, what it is that I hope we're going to do, we'd all get fired. So, you know, you're just like, we do our best to keep this business up and running so we can all keep doing what we love and you love reading. And, you know, the magazine's been around for 13 years. Like, we're not going anywhere. Obviously, these decisions are made with some history of being informed about where things are going. So
that said, I'm leaving, so I don't care anymore. One word, holograms. That's okay.
You know, if you go to the new forums right now, you can hear some of my a little bit more data on the Bakteen contingency for zombie bites, because somebody took issue with it, and I put that dissent down right quick.
Good work.
Thank you.
One more question, or
sure.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll do quick playlists after that.
Cool.
Hey, I'm Bob from Ohio. I just wanted to ask you if you knew whether or not there was going to be any sort of plans for Force Unleashed coming to the PC. So, love your podcast. Keep up the great work. Thanks. Bye.
Dan, you want to take this one? We've been talking about it.
Yeah, there's no announced plans for Force Unleashed on the PC, unfortunately. I'm personally bummed about that because I love Star Wars and I love the PC and I don't own a console. So, but I don't know. I think, you know, it will probably eventually come to the PC. I guess the one interview I read said that like the processor power required, processor and graphics power required for it, is something that is limited to the upper segment of the PC market, which they didn't feel would warrant the resources at this time. So maybe in a year or so, when the PC, like when the lower end of the PC market starts catching up to the specs that they would expect for that game to run that game well, maybe they'll port it over. But there's no plans for the immediate future, unfortunately.
Well, what are we playing in the meantime? Rather than talk about the things that we can't play, what's everybody playing right now? Chuck, what are you playing right now? You've been busy, but what are you up to?
Yeah, I've actually been away. So
you've been on the road.
The one thing that I've been playing, I can't talk about for a few weeks. So
secret.
Yeah, something secret. I will say I was doing some traveling to some undisclosed locations. So
hanging out with Dick Cheney.
Hanging out with Dick Cheney in his man-sized safe.
Yeah, is this game that you can't talk about Dick Cheney's magical adventure?
Whoa.
Oh, if only I could. No, I will say, though, so I was off in a different land called Europe for a little bit, and one thing I will say was that
what a magical sounding place.
So you know you've heard about how big celebrities here will go off and they'll do TV commercials over there? Mm-hmm. And they don't want them shown here because, you know, then they'd be seen as slumming. Well, so I saw two ads. There was George Clooney doing an espresso ad. several of those. It was that was kind of funny. I saw this many times. But the real coup, though, was Nicole Kidman doing a Brain Age 2 ad.
Whoa! Wow. I would love to see that.
She's playing Brain Age 2, and she's crinkling up her nose, really cute, and she looks like she's having so much fun.
She can still crinkle her nose?
No.
I think that was CGI. It was totally CGI.
They unbotoxed her from there, just so she could crinkle. I think that's the effect of Brain Age 2. I would have to say, I think they should bring that over here because, you know, I don't know what she's worried about with her image or whatever. I think it's a cute ad, you know.
Search for it on YouTube.
You know, yeah.
Norm, what are you, Norman Chan? Norm, what's your middle name?
Lucius.
Thundercloud?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to say.
Lucius.
Norman, yeah. Thundercloud Chan. Norm, what are you playing right now?
I'm playing lots of Team Fortress 2. I played Turok last week, and I'm just about to get started in Iron Man. For PC.
Ah, yes. Will you be delivered? Oh, forget it, I'm not going to
say
it.
What did you think of Turok?
What did I think of Turok?
You don't have to say any more then.
I think you had a good line about it earlier today.
I didn't think it was possible, but I am now tired of stabbing dinosaurs in the face.
I think that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah. That's crazy talk.
I never thought I would. I don't think I'd ever get tired of something like that.
You never do.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I do get a little bit tired of, you know, I'm still playing a little bit of Assassin's Creed. I have gotten a little bit tired of stabbing people in that. I mean, it's a lot of stabbing. Lots, very, very stabby, that game. One thing I don't ever get tired of, though, is tossing people off rooftops.
Is that what you're playing now?
No.
I'm almost done with Assassin's Creed. Been playing in the little bursts, and I've been playing a little bit more Sins of the Solar Empire.
You know, we have not played a game of Sins of the Solar Empire in many weeks.
Yeah, neither
many weeks. It's been a couple weeks since we played together, but I still play, you know, a couple games here and there.
He's cheating on you, Norm. Did you hear that?
I don't think I can talk about the other things I've been playing, though. Although, I mean, the games I've been playing are themselves not secret, but they would give it away.
Logan Decker.
I am playing Turok. I am playing Rainbow Six Vegas 2. And I'm playing with the thrilling Mindwire V5. which I've got attached to my body right now. It's a little pad, that electrical pad that you put on your body, and whenever you're supposed to get a rumble effect, it gives you applies instead a shock. So right now I have it in test mode, and I'm going to see how long I can take it. It gradually increases the electrical current.
It made my hand go numb yesterday.
Okay. Hey, Logan, where do you have it applied?
Let's just do it. okay, here we go.
I'm almost afraid that I'm going to feel it.
It says on the thing, tubes. Do not use on head, neck, chest, or groin. but where I've got it is none your beeswax. Okay, here we go.
That sounds pretty close to groin to me.
Yeah, that was less fun to watch than it was to listen to.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are we gonna do it?
Wow,
I think this podcast just went into mature rated territory.
How many lights are there?
No, I went into the red. I went all the way into
really?
The red.
We need to do so. One of the best things about this little game, if you want to call it that, actually hook five different people up to it at once, which we haven't done yet. Or you can, I guess, you could apply the pads to five different parts of your own body. But
let's do it another day.
I know, talk about the mind control.
I think. Wait, Logan, can we?
Can we?
What?
Can we talk about the OCZ thing?
Oh hell yeah!
Oh okay. Oh.
Let's talk. Hurry, because we've only got a few minutes.
Oh,
we've all been killing people with our minds.
We killed people with our minds. It works.
Hurry, you want to explain what it is? Yeah, it sort of works, right? It also works when you blink or when you turn your head. So
you can think and you can kill somebody with your mind, Predator style. Predator style.
I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, I got the thing is it has a headband that goes around your head, and it reads like an EEG readings off of your your muscle and brain activity, which it's not all that responsive. Mostly I would get it to do something by like moving my eyebrows or something, just to give it a little bit of a little sensation there to work off of. I found that it was very difficult to get it to move on cue for me, and I had a lot of trouble getting it to shoot or jump without doing both at the same time.
But you were doing this within minutes of trying it on for the first time. Imagine with a little bit of training, and a little better calibration, what you could get out of it. I mean, literally, we were all doing this within seconds of putting on the headband.
And I'm actually kind of more into the idea of killing somebody with my eyebrows than with my mind, if you want to know the truth.
And also, there's so many other opportunities that you can use this interface for, like just doing a flight sim and just kicking back, on the couch and thinking. And just directing yourself, going la 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 la. And that was me flying over the Bay Area right there.
I don't know. I think that the technology has promise. I don't think it's sensitive enough yet. I don't think it quite understands what's going on with your brain yet.
Yeah, but you barely had any calibration.
But who does?
I'd give it a little.
I think that like any first generation technology, it has promise, but it needs work.
Which about sums up this entire staff. So on that note, thank you. Oh, Andy, what are you playing?
I haven't really been playing any PC games lately. I've been stuck with GTA.
Catch Mike.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, Kristen, what about you?
What have you been playing?
I've been playing Overclocked, and all I'm going to say about that is I should have listened to Logan. But more on that later. It's one game you definitely don't need to control with your mind. Let's
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, so there's a little teaser for you.
All right.
Before we go, I just want to say, Chuck, as a long-time reader, you will be missed very dearly.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody send in your good wishes to Chuck. You can send them to editor@pcgamer.com.
And death wishes, too.
No naked pictures, please, right?
No, please. Please, no.
Well, thanks very, very much for being with us. We will see you next week on behalf of Chuck Osborne, Andy Bauman, Logan Decker, Dan Stapleton, Norman Chan, and myself. Take care. Well, have we
made you sign HD on every time?
Whoa.
Luster.
Well, go ahead, Chuck.
Your reviews are informative and help me with choosing different games. It includes things I would never have thought of being in the magazine, like the burger eating contest for the two guys in the last issue. I found that really entertaining.
You're right back. Who asked you?
You are not alone, right?
PC Gamer, shaping the lives of young gamers everywhere.
Aw.
But it's true.
Warm and fuzzy.
Nope.
They are going to...
Did you have like a bad burrito something
for
lunch?
Who just did something shaky? Anybody?
See, you heard it too, didn't you?
I heard it too.
I did, yeah.
Ay-yay-yay!
That was...
Okay.
That was unsanctioned gaiety right there.
Go on, Dan, you were saying.
Yeah.